If you know that he's a firm foundation, Lord Jesus, you're awesome in this place.
Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah, God. Glory to your name today, Father. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you. You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place. The place is our hearts, Lord God. Hallelujah. And for a moment, I just declare and decree that you are Lord over me, Lord God. In this moment, Lord God, I bow myself before you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And I praise you, God. I declare and decree, Lord God, that your glory will be made known. I declare and decree, Lord, your righteousness, it has prevailed on our behalf, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God, I thank you. Hallelujah, Lord, I declare, Lord God, that your revival is taking place in our hearts even right now. Father God, as we submit ourselves to you humbly, not coming to find any fault with one another, Lord, but to worship you, God. You are the one whom our hearts long for. You are our maker, our creator, and Lord God, we were designed to give you the worship. So hallelujah, Lord God, you are awesome in this place. Our hearts is the place, Lord God, every heart lifted on today that is under the sound of my voice. If you hear this, wherever you are, just stop whatever you're doing and be still for a moment and just say thank you to the Lord God. Hallelujah. You may not know him as you ought to, but you still can give him praise. The Bible declares, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. The breath you breathe right now belongs to him. Therefore, it is advantageous unto us that we praise God, because at any moment he could stop our air supply, but he is long-suffering and merciful, and he gives us a number of days that our souls may be in alignment with him, that when we pass to the other side, we are found in peace with him. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father God. Your anointing is real. Your spirit is life. Glory, your word is life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for yet another chance to break the bread of life. There is a word on today, but before I go forth in teaching and admonishing through the word of God, I just want to worship him for a moment. He is worthy of our praise. This is not a show. This is not for pretense. This is not for anybody's credibility, but just to give God the praise. He's worthy. He deserves our worship, not just in a moment where we come and we say, God, you my everything, but as a lifestyle that we're constantly rebuking our flesh and bringing it into subjection of the will of the Holy Spirit, that we can walk after the Spirit of God and be in peace with him. Because they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. Father, we come before you in truth. We are naked and unashamed before you. There is nothing to hide because you see everything about us. Lord, in every way that is defiled in your sight, we ask your cleansing. And we know that we are cleansed through the word. And the Bible declares in Romans 10, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Lord, I thank you that you have commissioned and sent me to preach your word, Lord God. Even though the platform may not be usual, as most people understand it, Lord God, this is your work. So I thank you, Father, for what you have done in my life and what you're doing in the lives of those that are hearing, Lord God, even now. I thank you what you're doing in the church, Lord God. The declaration today by the Holy Spirit is revival. Be thou revived, O Zion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be thou revived. May revival spark in your hearts. A little fire goes a long way. Hallelujah. Revival is contagious. Father, I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name that is above every name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. People of God, this is Sir Ryan Davis doing the Exalting Jesus broadcast on the Now Network. Some of you may have trouble sometimes hearing or calling in on the telephone lines, but there is a free app available. You can go to the Now Radio, number4u.com, and download the app, and you can stream this live on your phone. It will through your data or your Wi-Fi, and you don't have to dial anything. You don't have to press in. You can just listen. okay? So get that. They're streaming video, streaming audio music all week long, different genres of music, but it's all Christian music. The word is going forth different times of the week that you can hear these different broadcasts. If you feel at liberty to download the app, go ahead. It's free of charge. Without any further ado, I'm going to get into this message. Today's message is one that I want you all to really listen attentively. And I ask one thing of you. One request is that if you know that the Lord has given this word, I want you to share it with somebody at the end of this. I want you to share it with a soul that you know maybe doesn't know God or doesn't know God like they ought to. Share this message with them. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, guide my lips. Hallelujah. A lot of the things that I say or even other preachers may say, often people take for granted that we just say things. They take it as if it's just something being said, not understanding the level of teaching we as the ministers go through. And at the feet of Jesus, there's certain things the Lord reveals. There's certain things the Lord speaks to those who he sends. Okay, when God sends you or he commissions you to bring forth a word to a people, he's already done prepared you beforehand. And there are things that he teaches you that man cannot teach, neither can they take it away. Okay? That doesn't mean that we can't learn through man. I'm not saying that, but what I mean is that there are people who God will do something in their life where he separates them for a season and he begins to pour into them. And he pours in that they may pour out. Okay? Just like you pour into a funnel. The funnel is nothing but a thing that allows something to be transferred from one source to another. So God will transfer his word through an individual to a person or a group of persons. And often we as the people who are ministers or teachers don't take the time to teach. We just say it, throw it out there, and oftentimes people wrestle with what's said. But today you're going to get some clarity on some things broken down in a basic level, but in clarity. Okay? The word today is life, L-I-F-E, just life. That's what I'm going to teach on today. And this message is going to be useful, especially when dealing with unbelievers. Now, I know usually I get on here and I'm hyped up, I'm pumped up, I'm talking loud and talking fast, and oftentimes people don't have a chance to catch what's being said. But I'm going to go into teacher mode today and try to talk a little slower and pace myself. If y'all are having any trouble hearing me, I need to know right now so that we can move on forward with this. Let me know if it's loud and clear. Praise God. I'm dealing with a couple technical issues on my end, so hallelujah. I guess we're a go. We're clear. Hallelujah. All right, so life. When it comes to life, we need to understand everything has its beginning except God. God has no end or no beginning. He always has been. When Moses was sent to declare to Pharaoh, let God's people go, Moses asked God a question. He said, who do I tell them sent me? And God's answer was so simple that it was mind-blowing even to this day. It's so simple yet profound at the same time. His answer is, I am that I am. In other words, I'll be the one to tell you who I really am. Because every situation may require a different answer. Every heart may require a different revelation. Every spirit may require a different demonstration of the power of God. Watch this. God told him, I am that I am. In other words, you don't go trying to explain who I am to the people. You just do what I say. And when they ask who sent you, whose authority do you come in, you let them know I am that I am. In other words, I'm going to show them who I am. You just do what I say. And those that don't believe, then I got something that they won't be able to fight against. It's called death. Death is the enemy of life. When God sent Moses to Pharaoh, Pharaoh saw the miracles. But then here comes the soothsayers and the magicians and the witches, the warlocks. They come and they work their little false miracles that looked exactly like what God had Moses do. Moses hit the waters and it turned to blood. They figured out a way to conjure up something and it turned as red as blood also. Moses threw his staff down on the ground and it became a serpent. So the counterfeits found a way to do that. But eventually, God got the last say because the people was like, oh, your God can do this? Well, we can do that too. But at the end of the day, God said, I got something you don't have control over, death. And Pharaoh and his army had to die because they would not release God's people to be free to know and worship him. It says, if life won't teach you who I am, death will be the reality. And that's the reality not a soul born can escape. Right by a graveyard, you're going to know one day that's a reality that you got to face. This is the thing that gives us the hope in the Christian faith. It's not a religion. We're not preaching religion to the world. There's enough religions in the world, but we're preaching the truth, the gospel called the good news. Watch this. And it's about life. Because one thing that is inevitable is death to the flesh. Everybody born in the flesh is going to have to die. Watch this. So God used death to bring forth an understanding of who he is. He says, I am that I am. God has no beginning, no end. When you turn in the book of Revelation, the very first chapter, the Spirit of the Lord says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The beginning and the glory and the end. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing on this. He says, I am the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the start, the finish. So God is who he is. He says, I am. Watch this. So life, what is life? Where does it originate from? God is life. But as we know life, as we know life, we know in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and all that. And then he begins to make the animals, and then he begins to make mankind in his image and in his likeness. Genesis 1 and 26 through 28 explains that. God made man in his image and in his likeness. Okay? When you get to the second chapter of Genesis is where I'm going to start at. Verse number 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, in the original Hebrew text, which the Bible was written in, the word breath of life, or when you read that, it talks about the ruach. Ruach is where we get the word breath of life from. Okay? It says God breathed into him the breath of life, the ruach, meaning spirit, essence, or being. So God is life. He has no beginning, no end. He can't be explained. You can't explain him away. You can try to, and it's only death to yourself. But God himself is, whether you believe in him or not, whether you deny him or not. Because one thing that I can tell you for sure, there's atheists here on earth. There's not one atheist in heaven. Here's the shocking part. There's not an atheist in hell. That's going to shock a lot of people. There's not one single atheist in hell. In other words, every soul that goes to hell knows the moment they get there, there's a God, and I live my life denying his truth. That moment they lift their eyes in hell, there's no question whether or not there's a God. Eternal punishment. is real, but eternal life is real. And today this message is about life. This is for the believers and the unbelievers. Hallelujah. Watch this. It's all going to come together because the Holy Spirit is the one that's bringing this. I'm just a funnel. I'm nobody. He that have ears, let him hear. Watch this. So God breathes into man's nostrils the breath of life. Life, the breath, the ruach, meaning essence, spirit, being, life. He breathes it. He breathes it into him. And man, the Bible says, and man became a living soul. He becomes a living soul. Before that, what was he? He was nothing but a form. The Bible says God formed man from the dust of the earth. Without the Holy Ghost, you can go to church all day long. You can even say, Jesus saved me. And you can call on his name, but the Bible speaks of those who call on his name in truth. Watch this. You can say Jesus is Lord and Savior all you want to, but the Bible specifically speaks elsewhere. It says those that have a form of godliness in the book of Timothy, says they have a form of godliness, form, but deny the power thereof. In other words, they're like Adam before he received the ruach, the breath of life, the living breath inside that came from another source that's ever living. God is life. We can't even explain how he got here because he's always been. He doesn't live in time. See, we think in terms of time, beginning, middle, end. God says, I am the beginning and the end. He doesn't live in time. Look at time as a straight line with a beginning and an end. But then look at God as eternity as a circle that surrounds that straight line. And everything that's happening in that straight line is subject to that circle that's unbreakable. It just continues to go around and around, and it is. Eternity never stops. It just is. Watch this. God just is. He says, I am that I am. So he can be what he wants to be. This is how he became a man. When you are God, you can take on any form you want. When you own everything, who can condemn or convict you of anything when you're God? There's not many gods. There's one God. Howbeit, many that are called gods with a lowercase g, and we'll find out about that later. But there's only one true God in the essence of who he is. But he's life. So all life derives from him. This is why they come up with the idea that there's nothing. There was nothing, and then suddenly there was something. Because they can't identify or trace God with the senses of the human flesh. They can't where he comes from or who he is or what he is. So they say it had to just poof out of nowhere because they can't trace him. But he always has been. The preacher's job is not to explain God. I've said this before. My job is not to explain God. He is who he is. Whether we believe in unto eternal life or we die and bust hell wide open, it doesn't matter. He's still going to be who he is. Okay? God is who he is. The preacher doesn't explain God, but the preacher's job is to draw you into the reality of God through the preaching of the word of God. So God breathes in the man the breath of life. That's why I said in the beginning, if you have breath, you ought to praise God. Tell him thank you. Hallelujah. Tell him thank you because your breath belongs to him. He says that he breathed the breath of life in the man and he became a living soul. So as we know life as human beings, the beginning, the origin of life started right there. When God took that form and said, I'm going to put some power in it to make it live. Without the breath of life, he's just a form, a dead person. A flesh body. Do you want to understand how real that is? The next time you go to a funeral, you look at that cold, stiff form of who used to be. Johnny dead now, he gone, or whoever. Susie May. I hope nobody named Susie May or Johnny's on the line. These are just names for the sake, you know, of explaining these things. But whoever it is, once they have departed from the body, there's nothing left there but a shell, a form. You can touch it. It's stiff. It's cold. You can yell at it. It ain't going to respond. The only way it's going to respond is if the Holy Spirit quickens them back to life. I believe we're going to see some people come back to life in this revival. We're going to see an anointing. The Bible says Jesus told them to heal the sick, raise the dead. So I believe we're going to see an anointing for raising the dead. But God's got to get his house in order. That means he got to raise us from the dead. Be thou revived in the name of Jesus. It starts inside. Watch this. So God breathed into man the breath of life. He puts life in the man. In the man. So life is the person that God already created in his mind. He says, now I got to take what's in my mind and put it out. And now it's going to take on the form of this flesh body. Let me help you understand something. Take a balloon. Just a balloon. It's wobbly. It has no form. All of a sudden you fill it up with water. That water fills up that balloon and takes the form that balloon should look like. Or let me give you another example. Take a cup of any shape, any size, and you put liquid in it. That liquid takes on the form of what it's in, but it's not the form. You pour the liquid out, the cup is just a cup. It's stiff. It's not moving. It's not doing anything. Okay? So when you take the spirit of life and put it into a human body, that body all of a sudden begins to raise up and move, talk, walk, breathe, think, reason, because there's a person inside of it now. Take your shirt, your pants, throw it on the ground. It's formed, it's built a certain way. It has a form, but it's lifeless. When you put it on your body, it moves and it takes on the form of your body. So think of your body itself as clothing for the spirit. God gave man life, but what did man do with it? With life comes choices and decisions. Hallelujah. With life comes choices and decisions. I'm going to help you understand the difference because, Pastor E helped me understand this. He said there's a difference between a choice and a decision. I believe he said that a choice is temporary and a decision is permanent. If he didn't say it, somebody said it, but I'm saying it today. And give credit to wherever credit is due. A choice is temporary. It's temporary. But a decision is something you make and got to deal with, the consequences of it. And I'm going to get into that. So God gave man life. I'm going to try to condense this for the sake of time. God gave man life. What's the next thing God did after that? Right after man became a living soul, verse 8 says, Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man. He put the man there, whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life. So he put life there first. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, comma. He put the tree of life in the midst of the garden also. Normally, when you see the word also, that means it's joining two things together. But we haven't even got to the second thing yet. This is the wisdom of God in his word. He's showing us something here. There's not a mistake in this book. There's only a mistake in people's understanding. When they don't understand something, then they seek to discredit it. But this book is right. And the Holy Spirit will reveal what's in this book. Watch this. He's real. Hallelujah. He says, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So here's what God is saying. I'm giving you life also. But I'm giving you a choice. Because God loves us, but he's not going to force us to love him as robots. He's not going to force us as machines to serve him because he wants to know who really loves him. Watch this. He knows, but he wants to experience love expressed towards him. Watch this. God knows everything, but he has not. You can know a thing without experience. So God knows in his innermost being of his ability to know all things. He knows who loves him and doesn't know him. Romans 8 explains that. Yet, he wants to experience those who love him, live it, walk it out. This is why holiness is taught in the church, holiness. Watch this now. So God gives them a choice, the choice. There's two things he puts there. Of course, we know he already gave them all the trees that are good for food. And then it says the tree of life also in the and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the tree that could give them life is listed here first. The tree of knowledge of evil is listed last. But man goes, the first thing he touches and partakes of is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Somebody may disagree with that, but if you study this long enough, you'll see the timeline of how fast these things really occurred and the timing of everything that took place in Genesis. Now, here's God giving man a choice. In the very beginning, right after life, right after he became alive, here's his choice. Here's his choice. That means as soon as you get born again, here comes a choice to be made. Every day you got to choose, I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm not going to deny him. I'm not going to sin against God willfully. Watch this. That's for the one that just gave your heart to Jesus. Watch this. Verse number 16, same chapter. I'm going to skip around a little bit. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. God says, all them trees I put there that don't have, we don't know the names of none of them except those two in the middle. Okay? Those two are in the midst of the garden. They're right smack dab in the middle. That means some things you're going to have to deal with. It's just right there. But the power to overcome temptation is in the hand of God, and you got to stay with him. He says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the midst of the garden thou mayest freely eat. You got all these trees. But, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, this is where the enemy of life makes its appearance. Man knows nothing about death. All he knows at this point is God just breathed life into me, and here I am. I'm a living soul. He's automatically got a mind of his own because God has now taken life and made life. Let me help you understand this. God is the source. Just like a seed itself can be the source. But that seed can reproduce, it will bring forth a tree that has multiple fruits, and it continues to bear more and more of its own kind. God made man after his image and likeness, so man was of his own, of God's kind, not a god, but like God. Okay? He was like God from the moment God thought to make him. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So God made man just like him, just put him in a flesh body, but his spirit was something like God, not in place of God. There'll never be another to replace him, but to be like him. So here's mankind being made a soul. God takes from his soul and makes a duplication or a reproduction of himself. Just like when a man and a woman consummate and a child is born, it's a duplication or a reproduction of yourselves. Watch this. So God gave man life. Then he gave him a choice. He says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Surely die. Die. So life was given to man. Suddenly, man is given a choice. We know the story. Man eats of the tree of knowledge of good and evil before he touches the tree of the knowledge, the tree of life. How do we know this? I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. Some things aren't said directly, but they can be received by revelation. So skip to the next chapter now. Chapter number 3. Suddenly here comes the serpent, and he says unto the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. This is the this is what religion, all the religions of the world will tell you. You can get immortality. You can get eternal life without doing it God's way. If you do enough good works, you in reincarnation until you get to nirvana. Now, how foolish is this? I'm going to die as a human being with morals and a conscience, come back as a rock, and I can work my way back to a better state of being. A rock, a dumb, unconscious rock, or a tree, or a bird, or whatever. But I got all these multiple chances to get right at life when I couldn't do it as the highest intelligence already on the planet. So I can come back and work my way past that as something with less intelligence. This is what religion teaches. All the religions of the world teach you're not going to die, or there's some alternative, purgatory or something. They anything but heaven and hell. They won't teach heaven and hell in most religions because they got to give you something to think you're going to live forever without the tree of life. The tree of life is Jesus. I'm going to show it to you. Watch this. So here's the serpent lying to them, to the woman, saying, "You shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof that your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods." Now he's telling them it's going to be more than one God. This is what religion says. It's multiple gods. You believe this? Well, I don't believe that. My opinion is this. My opinion is that. My God is this. Well, I see God that way. Well, we serve this God over here. There's only one God. And he's found in the person of Jesus Christ, because he is God. Watch this. It's not Buddha. It's not Krishna. It's not Muhammad or Allah or Kali or any of these other Hindu or Greek gods. It's not Zeus. It's none of those. It's not Buddha. Did I already say Buddha? Well, it's none of them. It's Jesus. Watch this. Says, "You shall not truly die. God knows in the day you eat, your eyes will be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." That's what he told the woman, and she believed it. And she eats it, takes it to her husband, and I'm going to skip down a few verses. You can read all the in-between stuff on your own time, but watch this. After they eat, God comes to them, and he knows they have done wrong. He knows they've done wrong because God comes looking. He comes looking for the man. In verse 9, it says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Religion teaches you to hide yourself. Do enough good works, or give enough money, or do this, or believe in enough of this, or, you know, do enough sacrilege. You know, as long as I do more good than bad, I'm okay. As long as I help the poor, I'm okay. It teaches you to hide yourself. But it doesn't teach you to trust in God, which is what man failed to do when he ate from the tree that God told him, do not eat. Because when God says a thing, then he means it. When you trust him and believe him, then you do what he says. And you don't get to know the other side of it. You don't get to know death. But they rather know death than life. Watch this. Let me speed this up a little bit. Verse 17 says, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee." God commanded him. God commanded him, but he listened to his wife instead, and she listened to the devil. And he said, "I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to thee. And thou shalt," he says, "and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Shalt thou return. So God just told him right there, your days are numbered. God curses the ground. He never curses the man. All these people talking about God cursed Adam, they're not reading this book right. It doesn't say God cursed man or woman. He cursed the ground for his sake. But then he tells him, you're going back to the dust of the ground. In other words, now you're slowly decaying away from the blessing towards the curse because you did this. So now you need hope. Now you need hope. Now you need a way out because you've done cut yourself off from life. Now, as I said in chapter verse 9 where it talks about, it says, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil basically just gave you the knowledge of evil because everything they had was already good. From the beginning, everything God made, he's looked at it, saw it, said it is good. Everything he saw and made, he said it was good. So what the enemy did was made man shift his focus toward evil, and that brought forth death because now his mind can think good or evil. Watch this. So now God tells him, because you did this, I curse the ground for your sake. And he uses the words, he says, you, in sorrow you will eat of the ground all the days of your life. In other words, now you got a number of days of your life. Previous to that, man was supposed to live forever. Watch. Same chapter, Genesis 3, verse 22. It says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, there's that word also, and eat and live forever. In other words, God is saying, I got to do something about it because now he's done become a sinner. He's done crossed the line. I can't let him live forever in this messed up state. Can you imagine if we lived forever in the sinful condition we have? Just look at how bad the world is now. Can you imagine 1,000 years from now how bad it would be? We got people murdering folks, raping folks, blaspheming. You got people doing all these different things. You got people, I don't even want to name some of the things that you hear and see on the news. Racism and you know, all the craziness, the theft and jealousy and envy and degrading women and, you know, harming children, all those things you see happening in our world. Can you imagine if we lived forever and would never die in our sinful state? God is good. Death is actually justified when you look at the condition of sin and what it does to this world when God made everything to be a certain way and man turned it another way because of his own choice or his own decision. Okay, watch this. Verse 22 says, and the man, he says, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden. God cut him off from the garden, put him away from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So somewhere outside of the Garden of Eden is where man's body was formed. So that right there, if you ever question where man's body came from, as they always say, it came from Eden, which is in Africa, and the black man is the original people, that right there tells you he wasn't from Africa. That doesn't mean that he wasn't black. We don't know what he was, is what I'm saying. So get rid of the racism, because this right here tells you that God put him back where he was taken from. So that could have been anywhere on planet Earth. So we really don't have to argue over, well, the original person was this, that, and the other. No, God placed him in Eden. Now, that's just a side note. Back to this message. I'm still talking about life. Watch this. Because man was given life, but he chose to death. He made a decision for death. And now we got to get back to life. It says, so he drove man out and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So God did something to keep man away from the tree of life. He didn't want man to touch it. He concealed it. He set it where you can't touch it. You just can't get to it. There's no way. God got this thing, the tree of life, on his own. But I told you earlier, Jesus is that tree of life. I'm going to show it to you in the Word. Jesus even made the claims. Some things are said in the scriptures, but it has to be extracted via revelation. Watch this. So man chose death. He made a decision upon death. God says, I'm not going to let him live forever like this. So if you wonder why we died, Genesis 4:3 and 22 says, God drove him away from the tree of life. In other words, that's why our days are numbered. Because as long as man, see, the way God had it set up is this. As long as man did what God said, he could have ate all of the trees, including the tree of life. That's why he says also. It's there also. He could have ate from that with all the others. But the first thing he went after is the one that God said, if you touch it, you're going to die. This is how we know what he did first. Because had he already ate of the tree of life, he wouldn't have been able to die. But he chose something else first. And God says, well, it's too late for me to try to let you live forever in this state. I got to fix this. I got to fix it where you can live forever, but in a new state. Therefore, the Bible says in the New Testament, you must be, not you, you can be, or some will be, or some might be. No, if you want to live forever in peace with God, in righteousness, he said, you must be born again. Okay, that's not a suggestion. That's direct. That's live and direct. There's no disputing that. You must be born again. You must be. Watch this. That's why I'm talking about life. Hallelujah. Chapter 5, verse 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 5 says, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. All the days. He had a number of days. 930 years. 930 years he lived, and he died. Now, some will look at the Bible and say, that must be a contradiction, because God said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Well, he did die. Listen. Take your cell phone, for example. The moment you unplug the charger from it, it's dying. It's dying. Death starts that moment. There's no life source. That battery is temporary. It may be at 100%. It may take 10 days for your cell phone to no longer work before you plug it back into the charger. But the true essence is, you notice it's at 100% now. Next thing you know, it's at 99. Now it's at 98. Now it's at 90. Now it's at 85. Now it's at 64. Now it's at 32. Now it's at 12. Now it's at 9. Now you're getting the notification on your phone. Now it's at 3%. Now you got the little red thing showing up. And before long, the lights go out if you don't plug it up. This is what happened with mankind. It just took 930 years for the full manifestation of what happened the day he was no longer allowed to eat from that which was supposed to give him life. Watch this, because he chose something else. Now I'm getting out of Genesis. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse number 30. Hallelujah. God says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. God said it all there. Not the devil, not the preacher. Nobody else did this but God. God says, I'm going to put two paths in front of you, two roads you choose. God put that tree of life in the garden also, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which I call the tree of death, because when you eat it, you're going to die. God put that there. God put that there. So God always gives man a choice. So here he's talking to Israel. Israel was the people God chose to reveal himself to. So a lot of things said in the Old Testament, people fight over it or try to, you know, tear down the Bible because they don't understand it, not even knowing it wasn't even talking to you. It wasn't even talking to you Gentile folks that were not of the nation of Israel. This was the law God gave to Israel. Everybody else didn't even know God. He didn't reveal himself to everybody else. So it takes the preaching of the gospel to break this down so that we understand what applies to us and how it applies to us. This is why you got to be careful despising the preacher. Because you just might miss something that God wanted to say to you. Watch this. He says, life and good. So everything God created was good. That's what he told man. Stay away from the one that gives you the knowledge of good and evil. Stay away from that, because all you're really gaining out of it is evil. So already, you already know good. I already gave you life. That was good. When I gave you that breath, that was good. Then he says, death and evil. He says, that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways. So I told you God wants to experience love. He is love. So when he puts us here and makes man in his own image, he should receive what he is back to himself, rightfully so. When you plant tomato seeds, you expect tomatoes. Watch this. Verse 19, I'm skipping down, says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life, there's life, and death, blessings and curses. But watch this. Here's the beautiful part. He tells them what to choose. He says, therefore, choose life. I'm going to say it again. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. See, if I got life, then I can transfer life through my seed. Watch this. And the seed reproduces after its own kind. So God doesn't just give you choices without telling you what his desire is for you. But he'll never make the choice for you. Now, life. What is life? I said Jesus is the tree of life. I said this. Watch this. This is not just some cute word that's cliche to make you feel good. This is the truth of God's word revealed. Watch this, because it's up to us what we're going to do with it. God will never make you choose. This is why I don't get upset when people say you ain't anointed or you ain't, what you saying ain't right or whatever. I ain't no sense in me getting upset. I'm going to say what he tell me to say, and whatever the end result is not up to me. It's up to you. God told Adam what to do. Adam made the choice. God gave him both trees to look at, but he only told him you want that one there, don't mess with it. But he made a decision to go against God and to want to be his own boss. Watch this. Jesus is the tree of life. John chapter 15. I'm trying to hurry up. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am, there's that I am again, the true vine. True vine. True vine. That means there's false vines. There's false so-called ways to the Father. That's why you got all these religions. That's why you got them trying to bring all the religions together now. And they are going to successfully bring them all together, because the Bible lets us know this. And it's going to be a mystery religion, and it's going to fool a lot of folks. But God wants you to be in the righteousness of him and in his peace beforehand, so you'll know the difference. There's a false Christianity out here that many will be taken in because they won't hear. But then there's the true vine. Watch this. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my father, he's telling you who his father is the husbandman. Listen, in modern day terminology, I'm a teacher, so I'm going to explain this, because the Lord explains this to me, makes me know this. And you can go back and research in any of this. And if you get to the right research, you'll find that everything I'm telling you is true. He says, I am the true vine, and my father is the husbandman. Husbandman simply means the person that planted the tree. Okay? Planted the tree. How do we know he's saying that's a tree? When we think of a vine, we think about the thing Tarzan is hanging off of. No, that's not what he means by vine, but he's talking about the tree trunk. That word vine there represents a tree trunk. The next verse explains it. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So a vine with branches, he's talking about a tree trunk. What is he saying? I am the tree of life. The only way we can be fruitful and multiply and be blessed and have what we need is to abide in him. Skip down to verse number 5. He says it a second time. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. In other words, he's saying the only way you bring forth fruit is to stay connected to me. Anything else is death. And he even talks about that later on in there. He talks about the branches that are withered. That means they die. So I'm gonna move around. We'll go back to the Old Testament. We'll go back to the Old Testament for a minute. Ezekiel, chapter number 18. Hallelujah. Ezekiel, chapter number 18, verse number 4. So I explain what a soul is, how man became a living soul. Understand that God has a soul. God in his word says, my soul, a few different places. Hebrews 10 and 38, if you need a reference. For the Bible scholars on the line, Hebrews 10 and 38, God speaks of his soul. So God has a soul. You want to know he has a soul? Because God has emotions. God gets angry sometimes. God gets jealous sometimes. God gets grieved sometimes. He has feelings. This is how we know we have them, because we came from him. He made us like him. So God has a soul, but then he creates and brings forth other souls. The first soul was Adam, and then Adam, from Adam we all came about. Now, we know what death is, and it happened in that moment. But yet, the Bible says, and he lived 930 years. In other words, it took him 930 years to fully die. So think of a fire that's going out, but you stick a match. Take a match. That match is only going to burn for so long. But while it's burning, you can take that match and light another match that's going to burn a little bit longer. And then you do that, wait till that one get down towards the end, and do it again. This is how you explain generations that come and go, but all are dying. But God wants to give us life that does not fade. Watch this. Watch this. Ezekiel 18:4. He says, behold, all souls are mine. All souls are mine. I'm not going to read too much because of the sake of time, and I know I'm running short on time. But he says, all souls are mine. In other words, they all belong to me. Psalms chapter 24, God says, the word of God says in verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. That means all people, all human souls belong to God. So, yet God says, I'm going to give you a decision to make, a choice to make, to choose me or to reject me. Ezekiel, back to Ezekiel 18:4, he says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So death is not only of the body. It's not just the body that dies, but the soul. The soul dies. This is what happened with Adam, but it wasn't in an instant like we know death, or as we imagine death. Verse number 20, same chapter, says it again. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. This is why sometimes I, as a minister, or ministers who preach the gospel, they often say the same thing over and over, because sometimes you got to drive the point home. This is, you see the same thing in the same chapter of Scripture two times, word for word. Jesus says, I am the vine, twice. Here he says, the soul that sinneth shall die, twice. That shows you the utter importance of a thing. Watch this. It's not just a thing to be said. It's something serious to what's being said. Life. Jesus declares in, I believe it's in, let me find this place here. In John 10:10, he says, the thief comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Or to steal, to kill, and to destroy, in that order. He says, but I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundantly. In other words, he knows that death is breathing down your back. He knows that one day you're going to have to exit this place. He knows that the sin you've committed in your body, not only is your body got to die because sin is already in you when you was born here, the sin nature, we all are born with it because we came from Adam, the first man that sinned against God, and the seed brings forth after its kind. He already knows you got that going on, but then the things you choose to do as an individual, he's saying that's going to damn the soul. So what is the remedy? Life. Jesus is saying, I come to give you life, and that more abundantly. More abundantly. That doesn't run out. It's continual. It's eternal. He already is eternal. He already is eternal life. We must receive it. I'm going to say this. Sin is sin. And every person born in the flesh is born with a sin nature. I don't care if you did just a little bit, or mama and your grandmama and your great-grandmama and your granddaddy and your daddy and everybody in your family was holy rollers and saved, and they taught you the Bible and they taught you to live right, and you didn't do what everybody else did, you still had a sin nature the day you came out your mama's womb. I don't care if you was born to be a prophet or born to be a pastor. You still had a sin nature the day you came out, and the Bible says you must be born again. I don't care how gifted you are, you must be born again. I don't care if you can preach the word and know the word forward and backwards. If you ain't saved and born again, then your soul is not really partaking in life. Watch this. I got about 5 more minutes. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that more abundantly. Sin, the sin nature is human. When you're born, it's a part of you. It just is what it is. That's why we got to be born again by the Spirit. The inner person now has to be made alive. The Holy Spirit regenerates you, renews you unto life. When you receive Him by saying with your mouth, I believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. I believe He is the Son of God, as the Bible has said, that the preachers are telling me out of the Scriptures. I believe this as the Scriptures have said. He says, then you qualify for this life just by your belief and your confession. Then the works follow, baptism and all those things. And you got to repent of your sins. You got to understand that sin is a problem. But let me say this. The bigger problem is not just sin, because all of us were born into sin. The bigger issue is this: rejecting life. Jesus is life. You can do all the good you want. Without Jesus, you're doomed. There is no other way to God. There is no other way to God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. He says, I am the life. L-I-F-E, not light. Many people say that scripture, and they say the way, the truth, and the light. He's the light also, but that's not what he said. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way to life, not a path to life among many paths. See, this is why the whole one world religion is going to get a lot of people, because they're going to say there's many paths to God. You choose yours, I choose mine, and we all serving the same God. Well, that's true. You are serving the same God, but it ain't the God of the Bible. You're serving that lowercase G-O-D, which is the devil who has tricked and deceived the masses. But the true word of God, somebody needs to hear this, is Jesus is your key to life. He's the only way. You can believe in all these different things, meditations and all these spiritual things, but then if you have tampered with spiritual things, then you know that spirits are real. Now you've got to ask yourself where they come from, because the answers are in this book. What is the spiritual energy that you call yourself messing with? Where is it coming from? All the different things, you got to ask yourself, where is it coming from? Where did it originate from? If these spirits are real, then there must be a source or a origin, an originator, a master over it. Much of what people are dealing with is demonic. It's nothing but devils, demons, but they got you tricked believing in something else. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. I'm about done here. I need to say this last little bit here. Two more things I need to say. In Matthew 25, verse 41, Jesus talks about those who are not saved that approach him on judgment day. Okay? And he's going to tell them to depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not prepared for human beings. It was not prepared for human beings. Okay? But Isaiah, the prophet, wrote in chapter 5, verse number 14, it says, hell hath enlarged herself. Hell is, in other words, it's expanding. It says, and open her mouth without measure. It is growing, because a lot of people are choosing to go. They reject life. It's not your sins per se that's sending you to hell. It's that, but it's not just that. It's more or less rejecting life. It's rejecting Jesus, because he's already given us a way to be forgiven of our sins. He's already given us the atonement by shedding his blood. And God says, because you shed your blood and you died, then I will look upon your death and count it for their righteousness if they will just believe upon you, if they will just believe in your name. And by believing in Jesus, then you receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will clean you up. He will teach you righteousness. He will make you understand the truth of his word. Watch this. It's a choice. Jesus is the great divide. Everybody talking about religions coming together as one. I'm telling you, this stuff is moving in our world right now. This one world religion, this ecumenical doctrines that many of your churches are being flooded with, and people don't know what's what no more. We got to know who's anointed to preach the word and who's preaching another gospel. But the true gospel brings conviction, and it changes lives, and it saves souls. Watch this. Watch this. Luke 23, verse 39 through 43. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but I'm going to just tell you what happened. There was two criminals that were dying, hung on crosses, and Jesus is right in the middle, hung on his cross. One on one side begins to curse at Jesus and talk crazy, and if you save others, save yourself. In other words, some people won't even listen to the preacher because they're looking at your struggles. They're looking at your cross, but they're not listening to the voice of life. But then others can hear something that's talking to their soul, and it's the voice of your creator talking to you via the Holy Ghost. Watch this. So Jesus is in the middle, and one guy's looking at his struggle. Well, he can't even get himself off the cross. What can he do for me? Not understanding that cross was what he did for you. But the other thief, he said, Lord, remember me. He humbled himself, and he confessed his sins. He says, we deserve to die. We deserve this because both of them were called criminals. They were thieves. In other words, we are all guilty in the court of God's law, from the least to the greatest. You might have ran the biggest sin tab in history, and here's this person with just a few sins that they committed, but all of you got a sin nature that's ugly to God. So he says, you can't come in unless you're born again. My God today. But he comes to give you life. So one chose death, the other chose life. Listen to me. Death, hell, and hell, destruction, eternal fire, that was not made for us. But it's a decision. God allows man to make his decision. Today, choose life. Maybe you say this message is basic. I've heard this all before. This is the basic foundational teaching of the gospel because you're already a Christian, born-again believer. Maybe you backslid. You're listening to this. Maybe, you know, you're listening to this, and this is your first time hearing this kind of teaching. Maybe it's not your first time. Either way it goes, we need life. Are you connected? Because I told you at the beginning, it's for everybody. Are you connected to the vine? He says, any branch that's in me that does not bear fruit. So in other words, you can be had known Jesus, but withering and dying. Today, receive life. Jesus is calling us to come back, to fall on our faces, to begin to fast and pray again, to begin to weep and cry out to him, to begin to worship and praise and adore him, and to love him with all of us. Hallelujah. This message is not just me preaching at you. I got to eat this word too. It's for me. It's for all of us. But he's calling us back to life. Hallelujah. God gave his only begotten son, Jesus. He committed no sin. They found fault in him for no reason. They beat him. They whipped him across his back. 39 lashes, beat him brutally. Blood was gushing out. They stabbed him in his side. They flogged him in the face, and they mocked him, and they spat upon him, and they made fun of him and said, who are you, the king of Jews? They put a crown of thorns on his head. We got to get back to preaching Jesus. This is what he did. This is what he endured for you, for me, that we could be saved. Romans 6 and 23, I believe it is. It says that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin can only bring you death. But Jesus says, I got a gift for you. Please receive this gift. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to press one. We don't have to pray over you. But right now, if you're listening to this, I dare you to just hit your knees and say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And come into my life and clean me up. Take away my sins. Make me whole again. If you backslidden or you're just not as close to God as you know you should be, Father, forgive me. I've turned away from life, and I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried to do my thing. Help me. Bring me back. Don't let me lose my connection with you. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. You are everything. You are life. You are who you are, and we are nothing. You said, I am who I am. So, God, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way in the lives of those listening. Holy Spirit, move. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you that the preaching of the gospel in its pure form, the clarity, the foundation is being checked. Hallelujah. And that you are moving in conviction. And that revival is moving in the land, whether we see it or not. We yield to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for healing and miracles coming back to the house of God in great measure by the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to press 1 for prayer or any of that, no comments or anything today. Just ponder on this word and let the Holy Spirit do the work. You are dismissed. Hallelujah, God.